Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford. HuntworthGear.com. By Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, ProfHearingCare.com. By the Castle Rock Petenwell Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, CastleRock-Petenwell.com, and by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, WoodsideRanch.com. I'm Dan Small. Today, a Wyoming pronghorn hunt, a look at the waterfowl migration, and sailing on Lake Superior. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Well, Jeff Kelm joins us from Wisconsin Rapids again this week. Well, Jeff, you and Robert spent a few days last weekend up on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage. How was that?
It was good. We had minor success as far as hunting and fishing goes, but we had a good time. I always ask Robert what's his favorite part of the trip. And he always says, it's time with you, Dad, so I guess that's all worth it.
That is so important. Yeah, did you fish, hunt? What'd you do?
We did both, yeah, a little both. A little bit of fishing for one day, we hunted another day, and then the final day was a complete washout. It was rain and real cold, windy. It was just a nice day to go back home.
Yeah, Sunday was like that here, too. I was thinking about you guys. Well, what's your next adventure?
Well, we're eyeing up gun deer season, man. Robert is excited to go. We may get a couple of duck hunts before that, which will be a first for him as well. So I'll keep you updated on whether or not that happens.
That would be cool. Well, next Saturday, I will be at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Waukesha for their grand reopening. You can look for me, folks, in the hunting clothing department, where I'll be talking about Huntworth gear. And I'll be available for photos if anybody wants to do that. And Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Waukesha is at 2310 Casso Road. Stop by and say hello. I'll be there by 10 o'clock. And check out all the new camo products from Huntworth. Well, coming up, guest host Rob Dreeslein talks with Dr. Mike Brasher of Ducks Unlimited about the work of DU and the status of ducks this fall. In the Madison Report, J.C. Chamberlain reports on his trip to Wyoming for his wife's antelope hunt, and our Northwoods correspondent John Small wraps up a sailing season on Lake Superior. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Michigan, Wisconsin, or Minnesota, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit FamilyForestCarbon.org and enroll today.
Castle Rock and Petenwell are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-Petenwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Petenwell Lakes Association.
Step outside, let us be your guide, Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to three waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot Breakwater Falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Well, it's time for another Madison Outdoors Report brought to you by Pappas Trading Post. They are Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer, and they're located on State Highway 14 just west of Arena, Wisconsin, and about a half hour west of Madison. You can also find them on the web at PappasTradingPost.com. Joining us from the Trading Post once again is J.C. Chamberlain. Well, J.C., thanks for joining us and welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having us back again. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
You've got some exciting news to tell us, too. You were in Wyoming with your wife, Keisha, and we'll get to the deer stories here in Wisconsin, but tell us what you did out there.
We were actually out there on her first Western big game hunt, so we were out there chasing antelope around out in the flats and the sagebrush. It was quite a bit of fun.
Okay, so what happened?
We ended up doing a bunch of looking around and looking at different goats. I mean, the one thing with the antelope is usually they're not too terribly hard to find.
Yep.
And got to look over quite a few of them and got her on a stock on the second day we hunted. That didn't work out. And then the morning of the third day, she actually connected on a pretty nice one. So I'd say pretty average goat. It was a fun hunt. We got to see a lot of critters.
Yeah. So she took it with a rifle, I presume?
Yeah, we did go rifle. Just wasn't really in the cards to do it with a bow this year. Maybe down the road if she progresses in doing it a little bit more.
Okay, and what was her reaction to taking an antelope or a goat, as people do call them? That's a common name for them.
Yeah, for her it was a little bit bittersweet. She has shot some does around here, a couple with the bow and one with the gun. And, you know, that was her first antler or horned animal, and she was pretty excited about it. I think she actually kind of surprised herself that she would be that excited about it. And, you know, on the same side, a little bit of remorse for having taken the animal at the same time. It was pretty neat to see. She was really appreciating it and knew what it meant. So.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about remorse, and that's something we don't often talk about. Most guys are pretty, I'll use the word macho advisedly with quotes around it. I've gotten teary-eyed over an animal, and if you don't stop and thank the heavens or whatever deity you worship or just the animal itself, you're missing out on something.
Yeah, there's definitely a deeper side to it. Like you said, not everybody's going to probably admit that it's there. And, you know, over time, I suppose you kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of get used to it. But at the same time, like I said, it's, you know, one of those things every time I do shoot a deer, it's, you know, you kind of always have that thankfulness that you can do it and, you know, use the meat to feed the family. And, you know, really that was all that hunt was about. She was more worried about bringing something home than anything.
And she did. That's good.
Absolutely. She made a great shot and got some experience along the way.
And you fished as well?
Yeah, we did do a little fishing while we were out there. Didn't get to do as much as we hoped, but actually was very good fishing. I ended up catching one of my largest browns that I've caught, and we caught a whole bunch of fish. Good time. Very nice, relaxing end of the trip.
Were you fishing rivers or lakes?
So we were fishing in a bunch of different little streams. The biggest one, they actually still label it as a creek out there, and it's not very big, probably. probably only 12 foot wide, maybe at the most.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then you got back in time for youth deer hunt weekend with Haley, with your daughter. Is she 12 now?
She is 12 now. So she's got her hunter safety and everything done. And so this was kind of our first adventure. This year we didn't use a traditional, you know, pop-up style blind. So we were just kind of sitting on the ground, brushed in a little bit. She took a doe on Saturday evening, and then Sunday we had a really nice encounter with a 3.5-year-old 8-pointer that just didn't quite work out. She was waiting for a better shot, and he just didn't quite give it to us. She got to be, you know, in pretty tight because he was only about 55 yards probably from us at the time. So that was pretty neat, and she was a little bit upset about that, but you know, she was excited that she got to have that encounter, and then we also had a younger 8 chase a fawn by us within about 10, 15 yards. It was a pretty cool experience for her.
Yeah, and she knows now, having hunted enough or sat with you when before she could actually hunt or before she actually did hunt, that you don't always get something every time you go out.
Yeah, it was, I mean, actually kind of nice. Because she's had a lucky horseshoe there, like pretty much every time we've gone, she's gotten a crack at something.
Yeah.
So it was kind of good for her to see that other side of it. Actually hoping to get her out this weekend and do a little bow hunting.
Well, good luck to her.
Thank you.
And you, have you been hunting, or what are the other guys seeing?
I've been pretty much helping everybody else at this point. Randy is actually currently out west on a mule deer hunt of his own.
Okay.
And the other guys, Steve, who works part-time here with us, his son shot a nice little 8-pointer during the youth hunt on that Sunday night. And then I think Rich, so far, he's been skunked, actually. I think he's had 2 morning sits and no deer. But the cameras have definitely started to heat up as we get a little bit closer here, and the cooler weather that we've had is definitely helping.
Yeah, that's got to be helping them move a little bit. It's going to warm up this weekend, I understand, but what advice do you have for mid-season now, or middle of October?
Right now, still kind of on the edges of the food. A lot of the deer are going to be running scrape lines, checking those, and then as we kind of progress into later October, those saddles or pinches, downwind side of the bedding areas, you're going to start to see a lot more deer moving and cruising, you know, especially as some of the crops come down as well.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of crop harvesting going on with this drier weather, so that should help deer hunters because the deer won't be able to hide in the corn anymore.
Yeah, it definitely cuts things down when you take all them corn fields down. I think you lose almost half the woods, at least around here.
Yeah.
It definitely makes a difference. I know there's at least one farm there that I hunt that it makes an enormous difference on. It's pretty crazy what that corn can do.
Yeah, for sure. Any specials left?
Right now, we're still running the special on the Raven. Any of the Ravens that we have in stock, if you mention at least Well Supplies last, you get a free rangefinder with it. And then also, we've started running a special on any in-stock lifts. If you purchase one, you get a free low-pro quiver. So it's a $225 quiver with the bow.
Okay, and a lift is the newest Matthews compound.
Correct. That is the current flagship bow for Matthews.
Okay. Store hours before we let you go?
So we're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and Saturday, 9 to 5.
All right. Well, JC, you get out there and take a little time for yourself. It's wonderful to help everybody else, but I know you want to hunt too.
Yeah, I'll get my time in the tree.
All right. Yeah, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Hopefully I've got some stories, and good luck to everybody.
All right. And good luck to you and everyone there at Pappas Trading Post.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. That was J.C. Chamberlain. He is a wildlife biologist and a deer expert at Pappas Trading Post. They are on Highway 14 just west of Arena and half hour west of Madison. You can also find them on the web at pappastradingpost.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Listen to More Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back, everybody. Outdoor News Radio. Rob Dreisline, happy to be with you for another segment. Hope you're enjoying the broadcast. If you do, check us out online at outdoornews.com or give us a call at 800-535-5191. You can subscribe to print or digital versions either via that website or by giving us a call. Hey, waterfowl seasons are underway, and I'm really excited to have someone from Ducks Unlimited joining us now to talk about how seasons are progressing and just talk the science of ducks for a few minutes. Joining us from Memphis, Tennessee, the headquarters for Ducks Unlimited, is Dr. Michael Brazier. Michael, thanks for joining us. Your title down there, what, senior waterfowl scientist? Do I have that right?
That's it. You know, the senior part either means you worked really hard or you've been around for a long time. And I've been with DU for 19 years, so there you go.
Nice run. Congratulations. You know, for a young person listening out there who loves ducks and loves science, can you tell them how does one become a senior waterfowl scientist? How does one become any waterfowl scientist?
Yeah, let's start there. You know, it begins, I think, with being passionate about the resource, being passionate about wanting to make a contribution to the resource, in my case, through science that informs conservation. I do get a lot of people that call and ask that question. I think if you're high school or early college, I think it starts with trying to identify a school that has a strong wildlife program, preferably one that has a professor there, instructor that specializes in waterfowl, mm-hmm. wetlands science. Mm-hmm. That was my case, and that's the situation with many of the people in our profession right now. They've had someone that they've connected with that has mentored them and helped them make important connections and figure out exactly what they wanted to do and how best to get there.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish and wildlife departments around the country, especially up in my neck of the woods. Perhaps not all of them focus on waterfowl. Maybe more are taking time to focus on deer or wild turkeys, whatever the species yeah. might be. So I think that's some good advice. Mike, tell us a little bit about Ducks Unlimited for the 12 people out there listening who aren't familiar with the organization. What's DU's mission and what's the focus in 2024?
Well, Ducks Unlimited has been around since 1937. Our official incorporation is 1937. We had some roots prior to that, but we were founded in 1937 by a group of enthusiastic, passionate waterfowl hunters that recognized early on that if we are to sustain healthy populations of waterfowl, it requires keeping the habitat on this continent in the places where waterfowl need it. You know, most of our work is focused on ducks. Geese have adapted remarkably well to a lot of the modifications that we made to our landscapes. There are some exceptions to that. But for the most part, our work focuses on conserving habitats that ducks need. We conserve, we restore, we manage habitats for waterfowl. You know, increasingly, Rob, we are acknowledging and communicating about the additional benefits that all of that wetland conservation work, that grassland conservation work, and that reforestation and those bottomland hardwoods provides for things beyond waterfowl habitat. And that's important because it allows us to grow our conservation footprint, our pace of conservation, because the threats to waterfowl habitats have never been greater, no matter where you look. And ground zero for us, the most important landscape for Ducks Unlimited, for ducks, is the prairie pothole region of both the U.S. and Canada. That has been where we focused from day one, and it continues to be the top priority for us. Grasslands continue to be converted in that landscape. Wetlands continue to be altered or drained in some portions of that landscape. And that is the landscape that drives the ups and downs of continental duck populations. And that's where we continue to focus.
Well, that is music to my ears. I'm a big prairie pothole region guy, longtime advocate for the work that Ducks Unlimited and other organizations are doing out there. DU got a big old chunk of change, this past summer was announced, $100 million. Tell us a little bit about that. And that the focus on that will be prairie pothole region work, correct?
It absolutely will. Anybody who loves ducks in North America would have been thrilled to hear that news that was announced in May at Ducks Unlimited's national convention. And the specifics of that gift is a $100 million gift provided by Cox Enterprises in honor of Jim Kennedy. Many people will know Jim Kennedy as our single largest philanthropic donor here at Ducks Unlimited. He is at the top of the list in terms of those who support ducks, love ducks, loves duck hunting, and loves Ducks Unlimited. And he has shown that throughout his career. He got his start in the volunteer system many decades ago, and that shows the power of every aspect of what we as an organization do. That local chapter, that's where Jim Kennedy ended up connecting with Ducks Unlimited. He found like-minded people, and then he's been gracious enough to share in his successes with this organization and many others in the interest of conservation. That $100 million gift is going to our Wetlands America Trust affiliate, and that is essentially our land trust arm. That $100 million is dedicated to the permanent protection of grasslands and wetlands across the U.S. and Canadian prairies. The primary vehicle for a lot of that protection is going to be conservation easements, which allows the landowner to retain ownership of that property, but it protects the grassland wetland values of those acres in perpetuity so that it can continue to produce ducks and all sorts of other critters that rely on wetlands and grasslands up there in the Prairie Pothole region.
Well, even in today's day and age, $100 million is still real money, and that's going to go a long way to creating a lot of easements and I hope a lot more ducks. You're listening to Outdoor News Radio. Rob Jerisline with you. We are talking with Dr. Michael Bergier from Ducks Unlimited. He is based down in Memphis, Tennessee. Let's get into some of the details about how duck hunting is going this year, and maybe we should recap last year a little bit. We didn't have much of a winter here in the upper Midwest. That didn't push birds down, I think, is the long and short of it. It was a tough season, wasn't it, in the southern portion of the Mississippi Flyway last year?
I'd rather leave 2023 in the rearview mirror, if I'm being totally honest.
Well, that's fine. I summarized it pretty accurately.
You did. I had many people describe it as the worst season in history, and these are people that have hunted for many decades. It was a combination of series of events that just made for a worst case scenario. We had a strong El Nino that kept things warm in some northern areas. We actually had an unusually dry fall and into early winter down here and across much of the southern reaches of the flyways. It was just very, very tough for a lot of people. I think it was record warm in December, and maybe it wasn't until January that we finally got some break that actually produced some good hunting for folks down here. But we want to leave 23 behind us. 24 is underway, and it's most likely to be a struggle as well, again, due to these sort of large-scale climate patterns. We talked about El Nino just a minute ago, but La Nina is the one that's kind of tilting back the other way. Typically what that means for folks in the southern end of each of these flyways is some drier and warmer conditions. From that standpoint, people in southern areas, if you get good conditions, if you get water, hang on to that water, take advantage of those opportunities that you will have to get out and hunt, because you may not have a whole lot of them. They're ideal conditions. If there's any silver lining potentially to what a La Nina climate pattern may bring us, it's the potential for some increased precipitation up in the U.S. and Canadian prairies, which we definitely need, certainly there in Canada. They are projecting some colder than normal temperatures in those extreme northern latitudes associated with this climate pattern. But farther south you get, it's going to be warm. And so maybe if you're a mid-latitude hunter, maybe you can be optimistic and kind of get your hopes up for some good opportunities. But, you know, the rest of us, especially down here, I think we're a bit anxious about what it's going to be. We do have a slight uptick in the overall duck numbers this year. That's a good thing. Good reports out of Prairie Canada right now in terms of goose production this year. This past summer, by all accounts thus far, had the greatest production of Arctic nesting geese in quite a few years. We're hearing that from hunters up on the prairies. They're seeing a lot of young birds. We just had our Canadian Wildlife Service and other colleagues up there just completed surveys on the prairies looking at some of the geese, and indications are for a higher than normal percentage of juvenile birds in those flocks. So that's some potentially good news for folks.
The way it's kicking off here in Minnesota, we had the warmest, driest September on record. It's mostly been the same here in October. Finally, maybe some cooling coming this week. Maybe we'll push some birds down. So looking a little too similar for 2023 for my case, I presume for yours also. If this is a trend, is it going to force us to revamp seasons, push seasons deeper into the year so that the hunters get a crack at some of these birds when they do finally come down? Or are you not there yet in terms of that kind of thinking?
I'm not there, Rob. Let me just say, because we don't get involved in those decisions in terms of when states set their seasons, the dates they choose. You know, the one thing that I will say, and this is not as a Ducks Unlimited employee, this is just me kind of as a scientist and as a duck hunter, I don't have much to offer on when we open the seasons in various states up and down the flyway. There's a lot of discussion that goes on there. But one of the things that we hear about, Rob, from a lot of different places is, well, we need to push the season later into February, later into January. And you know, from a science perspective, I think that would be a mistake. I think the closer we get to that breeding season with those hunting seasons, mm-hmm. the more harm we're going to be doing to duck populations. There's been some research out of Mississippi State a number of years ago that was actually assisted with. It shows there are impacts to some of those pair bonds and subsequent breeding productivity the later you go in disrupting those pair bonds. So that's the only aspect of kind of season length and timing that I'm qualified and authorized to talk about. That's more from a science and biology standpoint, thinking about what the birds need. You know, the other thing, Rob, just from a hunter standpoint, that what occurs to me when I hear people down here, whether it be my hunting buddies or whoever else, say, we need to push the season into February. Push the season into February, you're giving those birds even more time to be shot at, be educated, and by the time they get to you. That's not the situation that I want. I don't want to be hunting birds in February that have been hunted for 5 months prior to that. Right. So that's kind of my personal and scientific take.
One thing I know for sure is there'd be a lot fewer ducks heading south through the Mississippi Flyway and the rest of the country this year if it weren't for all the great work Ducks Unlimited has been doing. It's got to be pretty gratifying to be in your line of work and seeing, you know, new fresh water on the ground as a result of the efforts of the organization that you work for and seeing ducks fly south every autumn.
It really is, Rob. I'm fortunate to work for an organization that I was introduced to 40 or so years ago by my dad. I've been associated with Ducks Unlimited for a long, long time, and I hope that continues. Beyond Ducks Unlimited, the larger waterfowl management and science community is truly a great one. We are all fortunate to work gathering the information and applying that information to make better decisions for sustaining this resource that so many people care about. When I say so many people, I'm talking about the hunters. The hunters are the ones that continue to drive us because they are the ones that are most passionate about this resource, bar none. They are the ones that express their anger, their frustration, their critical questions. If we lose any of that, then we all lose. We lose the motivation. We lose the political influence. We lose the funding to do the important work that we do to conserve the resource that we care most about. But in the process, we lose the ability to provide benefits to broader swaths of society that care about things well beyond waterfowl and waterfowl habitat. My work is made possible by those people, primarily hunters, that care so much about this resource, that they created this organization, they continue to fund this organization, they continue to provide funding for state, federal agencies that are responsible for managing these resources. I get to do what I do because of the hunters that have stood up through the decades and said, this is important to us and we need to conserve it for future generations.
Dr. Michael Brazier, thanks so much for carving out some time to chat with us about the status of migration and all the great work your organization is up to.
It's always my pleasure, Rob. Thank you for everything that you do as well.
That was Dr. Michael Brazier from Ducks Unlimited, ducks.org. Appreciate him joining us.
Every year there are commercials reminding everyone to hunt safely. But the truth is, it's not up to everyone. It's up to you. Treat all firearms as if loaded. Always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Be certain of your target and what's beyond, and keep your finger outside the trigger guard until it's safe to shoot. Hunting safety is up to you. Don't just be aware of these safety measures, follow them. Safe hunting is no accident. Learn more from the Wisconsin DNR at dnr.wi.gov.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkaline and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs. Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now for a report from northern Wisconsin is our Northwoods correspondent, my son, Jonathan Small. John is a sailboat captain, among other things that he does up there in the Bayfield area. John, welcome back to Outdoors Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Now, I say welcome back. You and I spent, I've lost track now, about 4 days together, a little over a week ago, and we had a great time, didn't we?
Oh, we did. It was unbelievable fall weather, and we managed to pack in quite a bunch of stock in those 4 days.
We sure did, and we will get to that in a minute, but I mentioned that you are a sailboat captain, and you work for two companies that charter boats for recreational sailing, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm a licensed captain with the U.S. Coast Guard, and I am a contractor for both all-hand sailing and True North Sailing Charters out of Bayfield. And we do anywhere from 2.25 hour to multi-day sailing trips on Lake Superior in the Apostle Islands.
Now, I've been out with you once. That was last year, I think. Maybe 2 years ago now.
That was last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were out much of the summer. How was this summer for sailing?
It was phenomenal. Really, we didn't have a lot of bad weather, being rain and no wind. You know, it was beautiful. In fact, the last month of sailing was some of the best sailing of the year. Mid-September, late September, a lot of people were already done vacationing in the North Woods, and we had just some incredible days, just beautiful, comfortable weather, puffy clouds in the sky, and steady, strong winds.
And what do you need for sailing as far as wind goes? What are you hoping for?
I like to have a good 10 knots of wind, 10, 12, 15, somewhere in there. We need at least really 5 to make it worthwhile. Otherwise, we're kind of chasing the wind and just looking for it. But, okay. Yeah, a good 10-knot wind is pretty ideal.
And a knot is a little faster than a mile per hour, right?
Yeah, I believe the conversion is 1.15 miles per hour to 1 knot.
Okay, so it's close enough. So if you hear that there's a 10-mile-an-hour wind or a 15-mile-an-hour wind, you know,
yeah,
you can sail. Now, the season is over now, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe all the boats are out of the water. It is mid-October. Generally, boats come out all the way up until the end of October, and, you know, I think think both companies have all their boats out of the water as of yesterday.
Ah, okay. Well, let's talk about our few days together. Now, one of my goals was to catch a muskie on a fly rod, which didn't happen. Another goal was to catch a muskie, which did happen, and we did other things as well.
Yeah, we did. In fact, you know, we were so fortunate to have such good weather. We managed to spend a day in the woods prepping tree stands, changing batteries on trail cameras, and just getting ready for gun deer season, which is coming up in late November. Something that we typically do a little bit more last minute, so it was nice to get in there early and get out of there.
So we're not disturbing the area.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have trail cameras throughout the property, not as many as we would like to see, because there are more deer and more places for them to go than you can put cameras out. But you've
right.
picked up a couple of photos, haven't you, or just one since we were up there?
I've got a couple. I got the tail of some deer
okay.
leaving one of the cameras, and then just today I had a doe and a fawn walking in front of one of the other ones. But I'm actually surprised that I haven't seen more pictures in the week since we put those out. I don't know what that means. Maybe the deer are elsewhere.
Well, one thing we know is that the acorn crop is not very good this year compared to last year when there were acorns everywhere. Maybe they're somewhere else. I don't know what. There isn't much corn or anything else for them to eat. Maybe some alfalfa. Maybe they found
it. Yeah, I would imagine that they are in agricultural fields right now or taking advantage of some other food source besides acorns, because it's very clear that that is not going to be the go-to spot this winter.
Yeah. Well, so we are ready for gun season and maybe some bow hunting before then. And we did some fishing, too. You and I fished, just the two of us, in my boat on 2 days. We avoided the windiest day, and we spent one day on a lake that we fished a number of times, and I think I had one on that first lake, didn't I?
You did, yeah. It was a 27-incher, at my best estimate, at 20 yards away.
You got a pretty good eye for 20 yards. yeah, that fish hit a bucktail. I'm not going to give the lakes away, but we were fishing the corridor between Clam Lake and Mellon. GG is the thoroughfare there. So there's probably a dozen muskie lakes there. We fished three of them and saw one fish on that one lake. And then 2 days later, we fished two lakes we have never fished before. And I actually caught one there. And, of course, not on a fly.
Right. And that was your fault.
It was absolutely my fault. It was calm enough. And I was switching between gear and the fly rod. And afterwards, you know what I said, that fish, it was only a 31-incher, it would have probably...
32-and-a-half.
Oh, it was 30... Okay, thank you. 32-and-a-half, I'll take it. And that one we measured, folks. That was not a 20-yard eyeball estimate. That fish took a perch scale swim whiz, which is a crankbait that goes a few feet below the surface. I think it would have eaten anything. So if I'd put a fly in front of it, I would have snapped my jinx if I'd been able to get him to the boat, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think the only way you're going to break that jinx is to always cast flies.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, we saw some beautiful colors and explored a couple new lakes and only put a couple dings in the prop, so I don't think the folks at Cedar Lake Sales are going to be too upset with me. Usually I bring it back with a little wear showing that I actually used the boat this year. So in between, though, you had a chance to meet my good friend Tim Lesmeister, who has a summer home on Madeline Island. I've known Tim for probably 35 years, and he's an outdoor writer and broadcaster like me, and is very fortunate to have a place on the island. And we had breakfast with him at Many Penny Bistro, which is a great restaurant. We've eaten there many times. And then we played golf.
Yeah, and we got the locals rate at Apostle Highlands on a windless, perfect fall day. I really couldn't have asked for a better day to golf and a better course. I mean, just it was bluebird skies, view of the islands, trees turning color, and, you know, just enough leaves on the ground to go through a couple sleeves of balls.
Yeah, I think I would have gone through a couple sleeves of balls without the leaves because some of my drives found those gullies there. I wonder.
That's not an easy course.
It is not. It's challenging. It's narrow in areas, but it's a beautiful course. My favorite hole, just for the view, is that third hole where it looks like if you hit your drive long enough, you'd be on Madeline Island. I wonder when that course was built. I suppose I could look it up. I haven't done that.
Yeah, I don't know.
They must have carved that course out of the woods because there doesn't look like a lot of farmland in the area, and the fairways are fairly narrow, so they're not huge fields that were converted to golf holes. And then maybe the most exciting thing that happened to us, not something that I ever want to have happen, but it's happened to me a half a dozen times. We were driving back toward Mellon on GG. You were driving, fortunately. I don't know what I would have done. And I heard you gasp. You went, like you're catching your breath. And I look up, and suddenly there was this doe.
She was trying to skirt in front of us. And I think I was going about 55 with the trailer.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I didn't see her until she hit the asphalt from my left across the road. And didn't lock up the wheels, but pressed hard on the brakes. And he hesitated enough. I heard a thud, like, oh boy, just hit that deer. And I looked in the mirror, the driver's side mirror, and watched as she basically ran back off the road in the direction she had come from without an injury. So we kind of concluded that maybe she hit the boat. And drove to the next service station, got under some light, and looked and looked and looked. And all we found were a dozen looked like leg hairs stuck under the Crestliner sticker on the trailer.
Yeah.
So I guess it just acted like a big fender, and I slowed down enough just to bump her out of the way.
Yeah, it was a very fortunate encounter, and I hope that she survived it okay. And there was barely enough deer hair to tie a decent-sized trout fly.
No, there wasn't even enough for that. Yeah. And again, in the second that I saw her, she was mobile on four legs. There was no limping, no pitching forward or backward. She looked just about as startled as I was.
Yeah, and we were all startled, and fortunately you kept the car on the road, and folks, if this ever happens to you, and if you drive enough at night in Wisconsin, it's going to happen to you. You keep the car straight. You don't swerve. You hit the brakes. But if you happen to hit the deer, that's much better than going off the road and hitting a tree or going in a ditch and rolling it. Well, John, I hope to get up there again before gun deer season. But if not, at least we know our stands are ready, and I'm looking forward to a good hunt this year.
I am as well, and I think we're going to really see a change probably as the weather changes, hopefully a little more action on the cameras, but I'm happy that we are basically done with our prep and can have the element of surprise come opening day.
Yeah, I'm counting on that too. So, well, thanks so much. We will be talking again soon and looking forward to seeing you in about a month.
All right.
Jonathan Small, our Northwoods correspondent, a sailboat captain with True North Charters and All Hands Sailing. You can find them online at allhandsailing.org and truenorthsailingcharters.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to 3 waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle falls, and Washburn falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer 4 seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at castlerock-petenwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Petenwell Lakes Association.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Michigan, Wisconsin, or Minnesota, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Every year there are commercials reminding everyone to hunt safely. But the truth is, it's not up to everyone. It's up to you. Treat all firearms as if loaded. Always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Be certain of your target and what's beyond, and keep your finger outside the trigger guard until it's safe to shoot. Hunting safety is up to you. Don't just be aware of these safety measures, follow them. Safe hunting is no accident. Learn more from the Wisconsin DNR at dnr.wi.gov.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. And 2024 Crestliners are marked down with clearance prices ready to sell. They also have winterizing supplies in stock, or you can drop your boat off and let them do it for you. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford, huntworthgear.com. By Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, and Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, PROF Hearing Care. by the Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, castlerock-petenwell.com, and by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, woodsideranch.com.
And you can always watch our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin at milwaukeepbs.org, and the Deer Hunt Wisconsin show is archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
We've got this radio program online in a couple different places. You can find it at lake-link.com and download it and take it with you from there. Or you can go to outdoornews.com/podcast and download it there. Dan's on social media at Dan Small Outdoors, and I'm there at Hardwater Jeff.
Pheasant season opens this weekend. Lots going on, so get outside this weekend. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. He will be up at the Harbor Table in Washburn on Sunday. For more on Warren, you can check out his website, warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. See you at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Waukesha next Saturday, but get outside this weekend and be sure to join us next time for Outdoors Radio.